You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep.
Looked like Aaron Rodgers pulled out a little too quick.
You set me free.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
I feel like we can run the table.
Oh, I have sizzle.
What is happening, Pack Nation? Welcome back to another episode of The Sweep. I am your host, Fred Thurston, and with me as always, Mr. Blaine Hornis. My man, we done came up. From 4-6 to 10-6. To division champs, to wild card weekend winner. We cleared out the divisionals in Dallas, and now off to Atlanta for the NFC Championship. What in the hell just happened?
Oh man, what a nerve-wracking game on Sunday, dude. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. I think we hoped it would go in that kind of similar fashion. I didn't think that it would take two field goals and last 90 seconds of the game or whatever it was for Mason Crosby. But I'll tell you what, Aaron Rodgers, he just delivers again. And it's going to be a wild one down in Atlanta for the Georgia Dome's final game. It's just going to be electric. I can't imagine being there. I mean, I can't wait. I can't believe it's still 3.5-4 days away. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a long 4 days, I'll tell you that much, because it's all I can think about. It's all I've thought about. I know it's all you've been thinking about. I know it's a lot of what you people out there have been thinking about. So either way, I just want to say, either way, whether we win or lose, we are in the presence of serious greatness when it comes to watching Aaron Rodgers. And I hope that everyone takes a minute once in a while during the game. I know it gets crazy, but take a minute and just realize what we get to watch, what we've been blessed to watch for the last 20-odd years with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I tell my son all the time, dude, you have no idea, like, what you got going. We don't, Blaine, me and you don't have any idea, because we've never had to deal with it. Our parents, they've had to deal with the 70s, the 80s, and that kind of crap. But, man, just enjoy it, people. Enjoy it and have fun and realize that we're watching someone who I'm very much starting to consider as the greatest of all time.
He's in the conversation. I mean, there's no arguing it. Unfortunately, I don't want to be selfish, and it's crazy for me to think about the fact that we've had 20 plus years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. And we've only seen him win two Super Bowls. I think in order for McCarthy, I mean, as a head coach and even Ted Thompson as a GM, to be considered as a complete success. Now, McCarthy's won a shit ton of games. Ted Thompson's done a good enough job to win a ton of games.
Careful.
I'll walk that line right now. But yeah, a lot of wins. But it hasn't resulted in as many Super Bowls as you would hope. Now,
let me ask you a question then. I thought about this the other day, because that's the ultimate argument right there, is that Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, not enough Super Bowls. So then do we have to look at Ron Wolf as not necessarily a success?
He wasn't here that long.
But he was here long enough to have Brett Favre. I mean, he was here for a lot of that.
I mean, what was he here for, 11 years?
Ron Wolf was here for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years, two Super Bowl appearances, one win. I'm not going to call Ron Wolf a failure, because he's the one who turned it around and made it what it is. So he had a whole nother challenge. When Ted Thompson came in, they were already back to being a franchise that knew how to win, that had the key pieces in place and just had to build a full team around it. The long-term success that we've had is definitely because of our GM and our head coach. Now, they've struggled, particularly since 2009, 2010, in the big game, minus the Super Bowl season. And that's what's going to haunt their legacy as a coach-GM tandem together. And it just, I know there's other people out there that agree with me, and I know that there's people that are on your side that say, yeah, we're spoiled and we just better be happy with what we've had. Really, if you look at it, 20-plus years of Hall of Fame quarterback play and only two Super Bowl championships to show for it. I think they need at least one more, McCarthy does, to really call his career a full success. And probably, I mean, if he gets another one, maybe two, that puts him in probably Hall of Fame as a coach. Now, everybody's talking about how he's got 10 wins in the playoffs, and he tied Holmgren and Lombardi in Green Bay. Well, he also has the most losses in the playoffs. So it's not easy, and I get that. I understand that. But going back to the Hall of Fame quarterback play, that's the hard thing to do in this league. And you see teams that have it for 3 or 4 years, and then their window is gone. We've had it for 20-plus. Now, there's not a lot of franchises that can say that. I don't know. It's just such a hard thing to talk about. Debate is going to go on forever. Even if they win another one, some people are going to say that that's not enough.
Yeah, you always want more. You always, you know, of course, yeah, if we had 6, 7 Super Bowls, it would be a totally different ballgame. And I'm not saying enjoy what we have right now and don't care if we win a Super Bowl. Not the case. I want just as many Super Bowls as the guy next to me. But all I'm trying to say is, don't focus so much on that. And maybe just for a minute, enjoy the fact that we've got that guy, number 12, and then go back to being, you know, mad at the situation if you want. But I just think we're in the presence of greatness, and I think people really need to enjoy it, because guess what? At some point, he's going to go. And at some point, we're going to have a rough road back, potentially. Unless we draft a third straight Hall of Fame quarterback, which I doubt will ever happen, but who knows?
If Green Bay can hit the quarterback lottery 3 times in a row, I'll tell you what, it's going to be remarkable. I mean, it's already remarkable that we got two. Yep. And the way that it was handled with the Favre-Rodgers transition, it sucked at the time, but it really couldn't have happened any better.
Well, it's never going to be an easy transition. It never will be. So what happened. It was great. It worked out for everybody. There was some bad blood on both sides, with fans, with players, with coaches, all that stuff like that. But you know what? It worked out like it usually does. So I can't really complain about it. But with that, I mean, dang, let's go. Let's start this championship episode of the sweep. Let's get it going. Let's start off right away with saying hey to the two sponsors that have been with us from the get-go, Pride and Glory Clothing Company. The winter hats are in, people, and they are sick. They are only $15 while the Packers are still in the playoffs, so get yours now at prideandglory63.com. And, of course, the Ground Round and Nina, been with us since the get-go. Big news at the Ground Round, totally remodeled their sports lounge. It's awesome. It looks great. Very urban, very new, very hip, very cool place. You know, back then, before the remodel, they had 19 TVs. Now they've got 21. Just two TVs, you say? Well, when they're 70 inches a piece, yeah, two TVs is a pretty big deal. So shut it. And it wasn't just that. It wasn't just bar stools. It wasn't just the bar. They remodeled the menu. They got new burgers, new buns, new patties. It's crazy. If we thought the Packers are moving up, Ground Round is moving up, people. So head on down there. They got all new stuff. Check this out. They got a burger called the Little Piggy, pulled pork, smoked bacon, cured ham, cheddar cheese, fried onion tanglers, and barbecue sauce.
Hot damn!
That's insane.
That sounds like an explosion in your mouth that you want to be a part of.
Yes, and that's probably the best way to put it. Honestly, I mean, it's unbelievable. The Ground Round continues to do great things, people. If you haven't been there, go there. If you come into town for a game, go there. It is the place to be. So check it out at groundroundnina.com. But all right, here we go. No more intros. No more sponsor talk. No more bullshit. Let's crank it up and let's talk some football, Blaine. Here's what is on the docket for tonight. First, we'll hand out our Playboys and Schoolboys from that beautiful, beautiful win in Jerry World.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! And after that, it's championship time, baby. It's NFC Championship talk. We are there. We are going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what we need to do, what we got to do to get us to the Super Bowl. But first, let's hit up the injury report. All right, we had some scary ones. No doubt about it. We had some definite scary ones. We're going to start at the top of the list, though. We're going to hit up with the Jordy Nelson thing because everyone wants to know what's the deal with Jordy, how we're going to do with Jordy. Is he going to play in Atlanta? McCarthy would not say yet what the plan was for Nelson this week. He was quoted with saying, "Can't tell you if Jordy's going to practice Wednesday, but he did all the work in the regeneration workout today." He said that on Monday, so it's a good sign. But, Blaine, I know you are not very optimistic about him playing. I'm starting to not be very optimistic about him playing. Is there a chance that he could suit up in Atlanta?
I mean, I think there's always a chance, Freddie, but I wrote about it in my weekly on Lessons Learned. I'm almost hoping that they don't push it. I don't want them to wreck anything. And, you know, that sounds kind of bad to say when you're talking about arguably our best receiver, obviously the most productive we've had on a consistent basis throughout the season, but he hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. Even if he gets out to practice in a limited fashion, he's not going to get hit. He's not going to be running full speed routes with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. He's not going to have his timing down. It's a whole nother animal when you haven't practiced with somebody, and everybody wants to talk about, oh, well, he's played long enough with Rodgers and they know what they do. Don't give me that, because we saw Jordy at the beginning of this year after camp, after preseason, he still wasn't the same. It took him 3-4 weeks to get back into it. Now, that being said, if they let him rest one more week and they win, they get 2 weeks of full practice time to get back on the same page, and he'll be healthier. He won't have that lingering pain. And you know what? Even if he does come back, if we make it to the Super Bowl, he still might have some of that. But you can't tell me that 2 more weeks, that'll give him almost 5 weeks total off, 4.5 weeks to heal up. It would just be better. At this point, I think having him back could do a little bit more harm than good. The offense is hot. Aaron Rodgers is getting more and more comfortable with these other guys that are running in and out of the game, doing great things for him. I think sometimes when Jordy's in the game, Aaron gets too comfortable with him and focuses too much on just Jordy. I think we've seen the fact that Jared Cook has emerged into a playmaker. He's not just that guy that opens things up for other people and catches 4 or 5 catches here and there. He had over 100 yards and touchdown, and he had some of the most clutch catches in big spots that a guy could ask for from a tight end. Those are the types of things. In that position, he's looking for Jordy next time if he's on the field. And I don't know if you want to mess with that.
It's a great point, because he does. He spies on Jordy constantly. Well, I remember...
rightfully so. You can't argue with the fact that they have a connection.
It's a tough one, because I do agree with you on a lot of parts. The offense doesn't seem to be lacking anything while he's been out. The statistics show it. When he's not playing, we're actually playing pretty darn good. Receivers are stepping up, making plays. So yeah, I don't see any point of necessarily bringing him back too early. Now, if we were to get to the Super Bowl, then yeah, I think then he would probably be ready to go. So just an update on him. I wouldn't expect to see him out there, guys, on Sunday. But if we make it past Sunday, then there's a pretty good chance Jordy would be back. The other injuries that happened, Morgan Burnett, he went down after colliding with cornerback Ladarius Gunter while attempting to break up a third down pass. He returned to the game briefly after the injury, but then was replaced by Kentrell Bryce in the second quarter. That was strange because Gunter was the one who appeared hurt, but eventually Burnett went out. That's a huge blow if he's not able to go, but I think he'll be all right. It seemed to be a quad injury, which is a little bit better than the other, than the ham. So
I'll tell you what, Freddie, we better hope he can play.
Yeah, because he's big.
It was evident when he was not on the field.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't get me wrong, Kentrell Bryce. He actually, I mean, he laid one of the most perfect tackles, awesome tackles, great hit. I mean, pretty much how you draw it up. Coaching 101, if you're showing kids how to tackle in the open field, this is how you want to do it. And you know what? He made a couple of plays. But ultimately, you could tell. I mean, after when Burnett was not out there is when the pass game from Dak Prescott, it got elevated and he went off.
Well, Burnett's one of the longest tenured defenders on that team. I mean, you can't replace veteran leadership. You just can't. And,
he's
an absolute general, and him and HaHa really are a dynamic combo that I love watching. So I think without him, we suffer, and that secondary is hurting enough. We can't have him out. So hopefully we can hear some good things on him, and he'll be ready to go on Sunday. The other big injury, David Bakhtiari, that was really freaked me out. He was hurt during Ty Montgomery's second touchdown run, sustaining a low hit from behind. Jason Spriggs came in, but Bakhtiari returned like a bad dude to the lineup in the second quarter. So
I don't know if you read this, but the training staff actually discussed holding him out, and he said, you know what, it's my body, it's my decision, I'm going back in.
Yes, and his body is a wonderland, by the way.
I give the guy a lot of credit. I mean, a lot of guys go off of what the trainers say and say, okay, I'm out. But, I mean, it just shows the willingness and the drive that some of these guys for Green Bay have now. And
you know what? It's a guy that got paid, and it's a guy that they call Hollywood. The last thing you'd think was to see him gritted out. And you know what? Again, like TJ Lang, you know, like the rest of them, dudes are warriors. And I respect that more than anything on the entire – I mean, it's just I'm impressed. And you can tell that these guys, this team, wants it. I mean, considering all things that have happened to this team injury-wise and adversity-wise, and they just keep fighting and fighting and fighting, and it's hard to not get involved with it. It's a contagious feeling, and it's what gives me the belief that we're going to be able to go to the promised land.
Hope so.
Hope so, baby. All right, you got any other news? Any other news on the injury front? I know there was a signing. The Packers signed former Panthers cornerback, and now let me just warn you, this is probably not how you say his name, but Benwicker?
Something like that, yeah.
Any news on him? What do you got?
I know some people are questioning, what's the point? There's other veterans out there, blah, blah, blah. Charles Tillman.
Yes.
Was mentioned. Honestly, the way I look at it is this guy played for Carolina last year and the first four games this year. He got torched by Julio Jones for 220 yards in their game, their first matchup with them this year, and they released him after that game. Here's the thing. He's familiar with the Falcons. He played them twice last year and once this year. I think that might be the reason why they signed him. I don't know that he'll have any effect on the game this week or if he'll even be active. I know they signed him to the practice squad, but that doesn't mean anything. I think he's more of an insurance policy, maybe for more special team stuff. Now, we've said that about a couple of guys earlier in the season, and they ended up playing. So ultimately, I think it's an insurance policy, and the fact that he has some familiarity with the Atlanta Falcons and playing them three times in the last year's time. So everybody just relax. I don't think it's going to be a big thing. And as far as signing a veteran off the street who hasn't played a down of football in, you know, in the last basically year, come on, guys. Get over
it's
it.
Not bad. It's not going to happen. It's not Madden. You can't just sign someone and throw them in there like that. I know it seems like that's so so possible, and all you'd have to do is cover a guy. No, it gets a little bit hairier than that, people. There's a lot of stuff that goes into every play, offensively, defensively, and even special teams. Well, so
he's 36.
Yeah, and that, and he's pretty
darn old.
He's
been injured the last 3 years of his career. He's been injured, and you know what? Yeah, did he have some big turnovers? Yeah, but you know what? He also got torched quite a bit. If you actually look up some of his scores over the last 3 years of his career, when he did play on Pro Football Focus, it's not good. The instincts,
not that good, people.
No, he was never really. I mean, he had one great season that kind of put him out there on the map, and then his splash plays and forcing turnovers and kind of being a little bit of a ball hawk at times was kind of what he was known for. Other than that, he's not much. So just get off the Charles Tillman thing. I like him on Fox, so I'll give him that. He's not bad in the pregame stuff. And I think that's where he'll stay.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere, people. So just stop getting it twisted. All right, let's move on to Playboy.
Yeah.
And Schoolboy.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
You suck!
This segment is brought to you by none other than Pride and Glory Clothing Company, the only place to find one-of-a-kind authentic Packer gear honoring the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers and 6-time world champion Fuzzy Thurston. All right, Blaine, so I'm going to kick it off then with Playboy, and it's the guy that I said at the beginning of the year, and you know what? I just remembered this. I literally remember saying at the beginning of the year that the most influential player on this team will be Micah Hyde, and that is beginning to look more and more real for me. He plays the position that he's been asked to play phenomenally. He's all over the field. He's playing that hybrid safety linebacker role, which is my favorite, and I think he plays it perfectly. He had 4 tackles, 1 sack, 2 pass defense, and an interception that was just remarkable. It shows how great of a student of the game and of the film that he is to make that play. Blaine was something else.
Yeah, I mean, you could obviously see, especially after watching the replay a couple of times for me, he knew it was coming, and he made a great play. He jumped it, and really, he was a tackle or two away from taking that to the house. Yep. And that was the only thing that could have made that any better. But without that play, I don't think Green Bay wins that game. I mean, that's at least a 6-point swing. Probably a 10-point swing, because at that point Green Bay had no answer for the pass game, and we went down and got a field goal out of it. It was remarkable. I mean,
it's two games in a row with remarkable picks by Micah Hyde, and we're
gonna need one or two of those type plays out of our defense next week.
Yes, and you know what? The way that it's playing, and if he continues at that rate, we might look back on this if we win the Super Bowl, and Micah Hyde might be the reason that we really, I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers is fantastic, obviously Jared Cook is great, everyone's really great, but to make the big plays, the big game-changing plays, Micah Hyde's made them, and he's done it right, and he's done it good, and you know, he's just, he's got that skill, and he's got that mind, and I'm glad he's on our team for sure. So that is that. Blaine, who do you got?
All right. There's a lot to choose from on the offensive side of the ball, and that's the route I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Mason Crosby. He is as clutch as they get in the playoffs. He now has made 23 consecutive playoff field goals. He's the first kicker in the postseason to make two 50-plus yard field goals. And actually, he actually made three. One didn't count. It was negated by the timeout. But the stones, the brass, the clutchness, the I don't know how else to describe it, to make those two kicks, in particularly the first one at 56 yards. I mean, they missed that kick, or that gets blocked, or whatever happens, anything bad happens there. Dallas Cowboys get the ball back at midfield with about 2 minutes to go, we'll call it, and it's probably over for Green Bay. Now he makes that kick, the defense comes back, lets him get back into it, made just enough plays to hold him to a field goal. I think we were aided a little bit there by some officiating, which was awful, by the way. But you know what? Mason Crosby ultimately gets put in the position, makes the game winner twice, and that's why he's my playboy. I mean, it just goes without saying. Obviously, like I said, there's a lot of other guys that could have gotten it. Jared Cook, Aaron Rodgers. I would even throw Ty Montgomery in there. Just for his couple of splash plays out of the backfield that I think were huge. Geronimo Allison made a couple of nice big catches. The list goes on as far as guys that contributed and were key factors in this game. But Mason Crosby, good on you, brother. Gives everybody the confidence in the world that if it comes down to a kick, I'll take Green Bay.
Can't argue. Can't argue the fact that the dude did what he needed to do when he needed to do it. And it was, I'm not going to lie, Blaine, when he kicked that second kick, I thought it was going out. It looked forever.
You know, it's crazy because it almost looked, I mean, those are the types of plays when you're watching them and you're saying, no, 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 no. Yes, 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 yes. It makes it feel like it's the year it's supposed to happen. Yep, there's absolutely, there's not anything that can happen that's going to stop this team. That kick shouldn't have gone in based off of the way it came off his foot, the trajectory. I mean, the first one, the 56 yarder, looked like it was going to sail way to the right. This one looked like it was going to sail way to the left. All of a sudden it pushes right. And you know, it's just, it's crazy. It's exciting. It was fun. I'm glad it worked out the way it did. Thank God. But damn, man, it's hard. Hey. It's getting harder and harder to describe how this team is making me feel every Sunday. It's
an emotional good old roller coaster. It's that good old fashioned feeling, man. You just got to enjoy it. And speaking of Jared Cook, I know you mentioned Jared Cook. Let me just drop this again. I've said this before, but it keeps getting better and better. Jared Cook, 2-4 without him in the lineup. Now 10-2 with him in the lineup.
Hey, the man.
Give him the money.
Show me the money.
You know what? Honestly, he ain't going anywhere anyways. There's no way he's going to leave this team. I think a team could come at him with a ridiculous amount of money, and he'd stay in Green Bay, which we're going to still give him good money. But I think he's realizing how great it is to be on a team with a quarterback like that and to enjoy this ride. You know, he spent 8 years on shit, so.
Right, and you know what? For a guy making his first playoff run. He looks comfortable. He looks like he's been there before.
Yep.
I mean, all the credit in the world goes to him to how he's handling the pressure of his first playoff appearances. I know everybody wants to say it's just another game. Bullshit. I mean, this is huge for him. This is why he came here. And this is why he wanted to play with a caliber quarterback of Aaron Rodgers. And it's paying off for him. I mean, he kind of took a gamble. I think he probably could have squeezed a little bit more money out of another team if he would have held out a little bit longer in free agency. But good for him for doing what he did, taking maybe a little less money. And you know what? I think he would do it again. If Green Bay comes with a fair offer, he'll be here. I think even if they're a little bit lower than what he would want, he'll probably take it if it's a 3 or 4 year deal. And I hope that's what they give him. I hope they give him at least 3 years because he's earned it. And I know they say you don't want to pay too many guys for what they've done in the past, but he deserves it. And I think he makes Richard Rodgers better. I mean, Christ.
Yes, that's the truth, is he makes Richard Rodgers better. And now all of a sudden we went from having, maybe a tight end to having two legitimate tight ends. And and that's worth a 3 year deal. And it's something we've lacked. It's something that's clearly been beneficial for us. And it's something that Aaron loves. It's something that he can have as a safety net. And it's not going to happen. He's going to get resigned. But if he didn't, it would be one of the biggest mistakes we could make.
Yeah. I also think that, and I think we had talked about it earlier in the year, that tight end was probably an area of focus for them to address in the draft. I think they can kind of put that a little bit further down on the list now.
Yeah.
Knowing that they have a legitimate tight end in Jared Cook and a pretty decent second option at tight end in Richard Rodgers, they can wait a couple of rounds or maybe even until next year to draft a higher profile guy and then give him a year or two to really come into his own. And I think that's why you sign a veteran like Jared Cook. It's just going to help because tight ends don't come in their rookie year and just all of a sudden be great. I mean, when's the last time you saw a tight end come in and play like a rookie wide receiver and just splash and be awesome right away? It doesn't happen.
No.
It's kind of like linebacker. That's hard. Those are hard positions to come into and just be dominant as rookies. It's not a running back or a wide receiver or a quarterback position that can affect the game right away. It takes time to develop them. They have to get timing down. They have to learn new schemes as far as the blocking schemes, because we can't forget people. Tight ends have a lot of responsibility, especially in a Green Bay Packer offense. So I think it's huge as far as the team development to have Jared Cook around, and it's just going to set things up a little bit better for them in the future.
All right, Blaine, who do you got for schoolboy?
It's kind of an easy one. I mean, I know we gave up a lot of points. The defense didn't play very good. But there's one guy who stood out to me once again, and it's the same guy I had last week. Demarius Randall is not very good. And I don't know if it's based solely off of him still fighting back from that foot injury or what the deal is, but he is just not good. Repeatedly getting beat, missing tackles, not looking like he knows what he's supposed to be doing. It's frustrating to see, but we really don't have another option. So I understand why he's out there. But no excuses. It's just bad. I don't know what the plan is for this week. Hopefully he can figure it out. Hopefully Rollins can come back and maybe take some tick from him. I don't know. I really can't say much besides he's just really bad.
Yeah, I want to believe that it's his injury. I want to believe that he's having a hard time coming back from his injury. But then I watch the boneheaded plays that have nothing to do with being injured. And I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what his deal is. Listen, if you can't run with a guy because your foot hurt or your groin is still bad or whatever it might be, that I can understand. But not being able to line up correctly, not being able to know the right coverages, that has nothing to do with your injury. So it's a concern. It's a concern when you get straight beat badly by Jason Witten, who I'm fairly confident I can run faster than, might be the only player in the NFL that I can run faster than. It doesn't look good. I don't know what the plan is. Like you said, I think you almost have to, you have to wonder if maybe Green Bay understands the fact that he's just not ready, but at least it's like a, it's a name. It's someone they can at least put out there to somewhat camouflage the weakness that is our secondary right now.
The thing is, I don't know that there's a better option. I mean,
there isn't, and that's the thing. Is yeah, you could put a few younger guys. You could put a Herb Waters out there, but Matt Ryan is going to be a little less wanting to throw to a guy with Randall on the back of his jersey than Waters, even if Waters is fully healthy and maybe better at the time.
Right.
I guess you want to say it's the respect factor, well, even though Randall hasn't
Randall has a little bit of, I don't want to say as a pedigree because it's only in his second year, but
yeah, that's the point.
He had a good year last year. He's shown flashes of being able to make plays, and I understand he wasn't the one covering Dez Bryant. But Dez Bryant, if Randall was getting beat by just Dez Bryant and got torched by just Dez Bryant, I could understand that because Dez Bryant is a playmaker. He is a top 10 wide receiver in this league. He's a big man. He's a physical guy. He can make all those jump catches. Dez Bryant is not my concern. Just like Julio Jones this week is not my concern. It's all the other guys that you expect Demaryius Randall to be able to cover. It's, you can't get beat by a tight end. And I reverted to it before that we got a little bit of help on that last drive from the officials. I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but Randall was on Witten and was just completely blanketing him and holding the hell out of him. And I was watching the game with a couple of my buddies. I said, we just got lucky two plays in a row because Randall was holding and they didn't call it. And it flat out would have been the GOAT, would have been the easy scapegoat had they called those penalties. Now, don't get me wrong. Trust me, it went both ways because they were holding the hell out of Devontae Adams all night. So I'm not trying to say that we won because of the officials, but we definitely got away with some there at the end of the game. And he was the culprit. It's going to be rough because Atlanta has some playmakers besides Julio Jones. You just hope that the one or two plays that the defense needs to make come through and Rodgers can take advantage of it.
All right. My schoolboy, none other than Demaryius. I'm with you. I could maybe go somewhere else. I could maybe find someone else. But it's the most blatant, obvious elephant in the room type situation. And he was god awful, just for what you said, what I said. So there you go, Demaryius. You got one last week, you got two this week. Figure it out. You better
Step
come
it up,
to play.
Son.
You better come to play, baby.
Yep. The only other area of concern I have, and it's hard to completely go off on this group. Because Dallas's offensive line is pretty damn good. But our pass rush was non-existent.
Yes.
That's got to change. That'd be my honorable mention pick for schoolboy, since we both picked the same guy. I'll throw that in there. But hopefully we can turn that around a little bit too. I think we will. All signs point to the fact that we will. Atlanta's offensive line is not as good. Not even close to as good as Dallas's, but honorable mention, schoolboy is the pass rush, everyone involved, D-line, outside linebackers. Unless we were blitzing with safety and some of our middle linebackers, it seemed like we couldn't get pressure. So that's why I'm bringing that up, and hopefully going forward it gets better.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to bring the funk against Atlanta. And let's transition then right into talking about Atlanta. And I know right off the bat, I got to mention one thing. This is something that I saw on Twitter, and I guess I didn't really realize it. I knew there was some, but I didn't realize the full extent of it. But when the Packers played the Falcons in Week 8, which I get it, two totally different teams a long time ago, they didn't have Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb, Jared Cook, Clay Matthews, Demarius Randall, or Quentin Rollins. And we still only lost by 1 point. I mean, that's kind of insane. I mean, you can chalk Randall and Rollins up fine, whatever. But Clay's been playing better. Cook is obviously a game changer. Randall Cobb's been playing better, and Ty Montgomery is fantastic right now. So I mean, it shows how different the team is, but it also gives me a little bit of excitement going into it, just because Atlanta is tough and their offense is scary. It's gonna be probably a shootout. I know that I've told you this before. It seems like when it's two really good offensive teams, it usually ends up being a low scoring game. For whatever reason that is, I don't know. But I know that Vegas right now has it over under like 61, which is insane. I think that's a record for a postseason game or an NFC championship.
I'll tell you what, if I had a lot of money, I'd be putting a lot of money on the over.
You think it's going to go big?
I do. I think it's going to go over that. I think it'll go over that by a considerable margin. I really do.
So I was talking with someone the other day about it, and I referenced it to when I play Madden with my son. And this is probably not a very good plug for me, but he's pretty good at Madden, so just give me a break. But whenever we play, I always tell him it's going to be the first person to either pick it off or cause a fumble. Because when he's on offense, he pretty much scores every single time. He does. Yep. And when I'm on offense, I score every single time. The only time that I don't is if he picks it off or vice versa. And then it's just a matter of, okay, well, if you think about it, he scores, I score, he scores, I score, he scores, I score. There's just not enough time in the game for me to score again. And I think that that's going to be similar to how the game on Sunday is going to be. It's going to be a shootout. And it's going to be who can make that big defensive play. And Atlanta's defense isn't the hottest thing in the game. Yeah, they have a great pass rusher, but our defense isn't the greatest either. So who's going to make that play? Who's going to change the flow of the game to be the better team, to win the game?
I agree. I mean, we talked about it, that Green Bay's defense needs to make one or two of those kind of splash plays just to change that. As far as Vic Beasley and the Atlanta pass rush, I think our pass protection and the fact that Aaron Rodgers knows how to move within the pocket and his ability to throw on the run going left or right negates pretty much all of that. Yeah. Now, Atlanta's probably going to get 3 or 4 sacks, but the amount of time that Rodgers has before those sacks in so many other plays that he doesn't get the sack is going to be the difference in the game, because the back end for the Atlanta Falcons defense is awful. They're 28th against the pass in the regular season. There's a reason for that, because they give up a lot of points through the air. And I understand that they've played with the lead often, and they play fast on offense, and they've made a lot of mistakes on defense with big plays because of the fact that they're winning a lot. And that's great. That's awesome for Green Bay, because that's what Green Bay does. They play with leads, and they want to, Green Bay's style this year, they want to get into a shootout. In a shootout with the offensive line that Green Bay has and the protection that they're giving Aaron Rodgers, and the fact that Aaron Rodgers is the best scramble quarterback probably ever, and his accuracy and his ability to throw on the run, go ahead, blitz us. He'll torch you on the short throws. Don't blitz us. Give him 7-8 seconds. He's going to torch you on the back end of that. It's pick your poison. They just have to hope. I think their philosophy and our philosophy is exactly the same. Make one or two plays on defense. And if I have to pick between which quarterback's not going to make a mistake, because both quarterbacks, Matt Ryan and Rodgers, are both playing at an elite level right now that's almost unmatched by any other two quarterbacks in the league. I'll take Rodgers. I mean, they call him Matty Ice, but I'll take Rodgers. It's just a fact of what I've seen. I haven't watched a lot of tape or games of Atlanta. I have a hard time telling myself that Matt Ryan is going to beat Aaron Rodgers. Now, he might get the MVP. Fine. I'll trade Super Bowl appearance for that MVP on Sunday all day long.
I'm a little on the side of he's playing great. Matt Ryan's playing great. Absolutely. No doubt about it. We'll probably win the MVP. But when those doors open on Sunday and he watches his daddy walk out, he's going to be scared. Yep. Aaron Rodgers is better than him, and he knows it.
Yep.
And he's going to be intimidated. And whether or not you say he's not or is, he'll probably hold it together. But in the deep down part of it, he knows that if it comes to a shootout, he can't compete with Rodgers. And for that reason alone, I think we have that edge. But it's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a fun game. Do I dare ask if I can get a prediction from you, or are you not ready for that?
Oh, I'll give you a prediction. I like I said, I wrote an article, Lessons Learned, and I always put a little early prediction, and I'm sticking with that again this week. And I'm going big. I'm going way over the 60 line that they had early in the week. And like you said, I think it's up to 61 now in Vegas. I have Green Bay winning it 45-37.
What?
Yeah, it's true shootout, run and gun, wow, up and down the field, points galore. I mean, if you like offensive football, this appears to be the matchup of the year as far as offenses go. Atlanta has the number one scoring offense in the league over the regular season. They rank 7th all time. So they're a top 10 offense all time as far as scoring goes. And I think Green Bay is going to get them. It might come down to the last team with the ball wins. I could also see both coaches going for broke. There's nothing to lose here besides a Super Bowl berth. I mean, you're not holding anything back here. I could see both coaches going for two multiple occasions in this game. I could see them going for fourth downs early and often in this game. I know a lot of the game could be based off of field position. I think that when you get into a shootout type of game, you can't give up possessions. And if you're on the 40-yard line, 37, 38-yard line, and it's fourth and one or fourth and two, you're going to see some of these plays. There's some of these coaches between all four coaches are going to have a different state of mind when it comes to situations like that. The normal sheet of when you go for it on fourth down and when you go for two, I think is thrown out the window at this point. It's not the regular season. It's not just going to be status quo play calling. It's going to be put it out on the line, me versus you. We've got bigger balls than you, and we're going to score more points than you today.
Balls to the wall.
That's right.
Football. Balls to the wall, football.com. That's what we're going to come up with right now.
What about you, Freddie? Where do you see it going? I know you talked about the fact that you think some of these offensive games end up turning into low-scoring defensive battles.
I do, and you know what? This is the thing. I wish I had more stats on it because I could back myself up a little bit, but I feel like when you have a game where it's two highly, highly touted offenses with suspect defenses, it ends up being a defensive game. It ends up being a low-scoring game. When you have two teams with incredible defenses and not such good offenses, it ends up being a high-scoring game. Now, this isn't all the time. This is a rarity here and there, I admit. You know, it's probably what I focus on more than anything. But it just seems to happen. So I look at this game and I think, okay, we got Atlanta who's killing it. We got Green Bay who's scoring. Both are putting up tons of yards. there's no way they're gonna. It's gonna end up being like a 20-16 type game. I don't know if that's it. That's not my prediction. But I don't know if it's gonna follow suit.
I'll tell you what. If it ends up going that way, I think that plays into the hands of Atlanta. I think that would be bad for us.
If it's not a blowout or not a shootout, I'm sorry.
Yep. Because I think in the end, if it's close as far as being low scoring and our offense isn't in rhythm early, that bodes bad for the Packers offense and good for Atlanta. They have a better source of a run game. They have two backs that are both quality and both have the ability to run the ball and catch the ball out of the backfield. They have the ability to chew up more clock, in my opinion. A low-scoring tight one is bad news for Green Bay.
I agree. I'm going to do this. I'm going to throw out a prediction. And I'm going to go with 38-30. So I'm going to venture a little bit away from what I said and it being a low-scoring game. I'm going to stick with it and go 38-30 Packers. And we're going back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean... I could see it going a little bit lower than what I thought. I think mine's more of a shot in the dark just based off of emotion and what I'm hoping happens. But I'm not going to lie. I don't see how either defense can stop the other offense. And 38-30, I mean, that's still a really high-scoring game. Yep. That gets you over Vegas's over-underline. So, I mean... Yours is a little bit more conservative than mine. Not really conservative, but I like both of our predictions. I could see both scores being dead nuts on. I could see it being something in between there. I could see it being maybe a little less, maybe even more. I mean, I think that this game potentially could see over 1,000 yards of offense and almost 100 points. It's going to be that type of game, in my opinion. And if it's not... So be it. But like I said, I don't think that would be a good sign for Green Bay. I think it needs to be a run and gun type game. I think Rodgers will attempt 50 passes. I think you could potentially see less than 15 rushing attempts by Green Bay. It's just, I don't see it. And it don't count out the fact that a big special teams play could be the difference. And when I say that, I mean, if McCarthy decides he wants to punt, it could be the one punt in the game that flips the field position. It could be the one field goal that gets blocked, the one punt return, the one kick return. There's a number of different things that we might not expect because we're focused on these offenses so much. I can't wait. I wish I could go to bed tonight and not wake up until Sunday afternoon at like 3 o'clock.
I think we all would enjoy that. You're right, though. It could very well be something crazy. We could see us coming out second half kicking an onside kick.
Yeah,
change the whole entire game. I mean, I've seen McCarthy do it before. It wouldn't surprise me.
And that's what I mean when I say that these coaches, you can't hold anything back at this point. I mean, I know you try to use the expression, what is there to lose? I understand you have a Super Bowl on the line here, or a Super Bowl appearance on the line. But what I mean as far as not holding anything back and nothing to lose is I would rather put everything out on the line and try all different types of things to get a win than be conservative and not try anything and lose.
You don't come this far to pussyfoot your way in a championship. Right. You just don't. You go balls to the wall, football.com, and you have to. You can't get to the NFC championship and then get conservative. I mean, I know a lot of people are probably going to reference something that happened in Seattle, but this is it. This is where you pull out all the stuff you've been talking about all year, all the things that you've been planning secretly in the background about what you're going to do, what you can't do. And this is where you let it out. Let me mention one thing. And I know me and you've talked about this. And that's Christian Michael. And I just want to quick get your take. We said that at one point he could be unleashed. Is this the game he gets unleashed? And let me also add that the last time Christian Michael played the Atlanta Falcons, he had 18 carries for 64 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That would be okay with me. I don't know that he gets 18 carries, but...
No, but maybe he gets more. I mean, maybe this is the game that McCarthy utilizes him, and maybe it's he gets 10 carries, but he gets a 7-8 yard average. You know, I mean, it's just a game-changing first down picking up type back.
Right, and we, like, yeah, I don't think we need 18 carries from the guy. I think you could give him 5 or 6, and if one of them is the one, if one of them's a big one and goes for 6, that is your, because all that's going to do is, even if you do it 4 or 5 times and they're just decent runs, it just opens everything else up. It keeps the defenses a little honest, keeps them on their heels a little bit. They're going to have to be aggressive if we can get any run game going early. And you're right. I have no clue what to expect when it comes to the run game from either side, because we've seen both. We've seen Ty Montgomery and the Packers go for over 150 against the Bears. We've seen Aaron Rodgers throw the ball 43 times like we did last week. And I honestly, if I was guessing, in my opinion, I would be willing to put money on the fact that Rodgers throws close to 50 times. And I would assume that we would run the ball 15 or less. Like I said, one or two of those have to be good ones, and if you can get close to a 4 to 5 yard average on the rest, you're good.
Put it in the GOAT's hands, man. Put it in the GOAT's hands and let them.
Yeah,
let
him I think that's what McCarthy wants. I think that's what Aaron Rodgers wants. I think that's what we all want. That's where we're comfortable. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to try to come out with a completely different offensive game plan now.
No.
So, I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. I'm excited. I plan on going down to the ground round, actually. I'm actually getting a pretty good crew together to go watch the game down there. So, if anybody's interested in that, come on down there. I will be there. Freddie, I don't know what your plans are. Hopefully, you don't have to work, brother.
Yes, I was scheduled to work. And oh, boy. I was freaking out about it because that's terrible. So I found out that I actually have one floating holiday and we were going to use it for a vacation with my family, but I convinced the wife that I need to use it for Sunday. So
priorities.
Hey, you know what? It's what I had to do. There's no way in hell that I could sit in a mill while the game's going on, and I would just be, I'd be a wreck. So it's what happened, and it's going to be just fine. It's not like we can't still go on our vacation. So, but I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great time. I think we're going to end up getting to watch this team continue to write one of the greatest stories in football, and in especially in 2016, and I can't wait to see how it ends, and I hope that it ends the way that we all hope and pray it does. So I'm excited. So any final thoughts before we log off here, Blaine?
Oh man, you know, you got me more and more nervous now just throughout this damn last hour here. You know,
not my mission.
And maybe it's just the fact that you and I are debating a little bit back and forth about what the score is going to be and how it's going to go. But, you know, I'm pretty confident. As much as you make me nervous and talking about it gets me excited and I start getting all sweaty palms and all that stuff, I still feel good. And, you know, I've had this feeling since we beat the Bears. Every week I've had this type of feeling where I feel like it's our year. I have the feeling we can't be beat. There's a reason why the field goals last week looked so bad and ended up being so good. There's a reason for that. And I'm not going to say God, and I'm not going to say this. And I'm like, it just feels right. It feels good. I love Aaron Rodgers. I'd hate him if he wasn't on our team, but I love him because he's wearing green and gold. And I just can't wait anymore. I'm excited. I don't know how else to explain the way I feel. I think a lot of other people, and you included, agree with me that there's just no describing how excited we feel and how anxious we are, and we just can't wait for kickoff. And then once kickoff comes, I'm going to be even more of a wreck, and I'm going to say to myself, I can't wait until this is over. I just want them to score and have the clock strike zero, win 7-0. Obviously, that's probably not going to happen, but that's how my week is going to go. And it's crazy, man. I mean, I'm excited. Can't wait.
It's going to be beautiful. You know what? Something my grandpa taught me from the day I was born is never, ever, ever lose faith in your Packers and always, always believe they will win. And I firmly, firmly believe they will win. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There have been many years that we've been dominant and we've gone through the year 15-1 or whatever it might be. And we've gotten to this point in the playoffs and it's been okay. Yeah. I think, you know, we'll go in and we'll win. We're really good. But I never had that feeling. I never had this little thing in my gut thinking, man, it's going to happen. This is the year. I feel it deep in me that we are going to go to the Super Bowl and we are going to win it. And it's not because I'm biased. It's not because I'm a big fan. It's a weird, true feeling. Even if I didn't like the team, I would say it still 100%. So I'm nervous as heck. I'm sweating like a pig right now thinking about it. But I know we're going to do good. I know we're going to show up. I know we're going to play. And I'm going to try my darndest to convince the wife to go down to Ground Round and watch it with you.
Awesome.
But with that being said, we're going to head out. We are past our time limit, but take a minute, guys. Take a minute and check us out on Facebook at The Sweep. You can find all our shows along with new articles from packtothefuture.com, like the article that Blaine was talking about. It's the best spot to send in fan questions as well. Also, check us out on Twitter at @TheSweep_PTF. PTTF. And last but not least, shout out to the guys over at Pack to the Future. And remember, folks, Matt Ryan still has a MySpace page. I'm not kidding. Check it out. Ouch. You can go see it right now. Ouch, brah. All right, Blaine, NFC Championship. We're going to the Super Bowl. Go Pack, go. Boom.
Go Pack, baby. Have fun, everybody. Enjoy it.
There it is. Just look at